Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Every year, as this holiday season approaches, there's always at least one thing you can count on. The Peanuts characters will show up on TV. I don't know about you, but I still kind of get choked up whenever I hear Linus read the Christmas story in A Charlie Brown Christmas. But Snoopy has his own take on Thanksgiving. Could you go ahead? There we go. So, how about that? Everyone is eating turkey today, but just because I'm a dog, I get dog food. Of course, it might be worse. I could have been born a turkey. So I guess you might say you can always find something to be thankful for. And it would appear that at least one turkey had their own plan for making it through another year. Don't know if you can read that, but it says, "I'm with Delicious." So, in 1 Thessalonians, St. Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I think we all know this, but on a day like today, we remind ourselves that God's desire is that we be thankful, that we give thanks no matter what happens in life, no matter what our circumstances. He wants every day to be a day of thanksgiving for us who belong to Jesus. So if you haven't thought about anything else to be thankful for yet this year, well, maybe at least you can be thankful you're not a turkey. But on the opposite end of the cartoon spectrum is Bart Simpson. In one episode, he's asked to give thanks for the meal, and he bows his head and begins, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Amen." Now, Bart got sent to his room. But I wonder if he doesn't, maybe he's on to something here. I think if we were more honest, we'd have to admit that maybe he was praying the prayer a lot of people are living today. Martin Luther once observed, "The greater God's gifts and works, the less they are regarded." And looking at our culture, I'd have to agree. It seems that we tend to exhibit a degree of thankfulness in reverse proportion to the amount of blessings we've received. Then again, this really isn't anything new. Think about the Israelites wandering in the desert after they were emancipated from Egypt. When they needed food, God said to them, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you." And he supplied them with manna. Every morning when the Israelites got up, they'd wake up, they'd step out of their tents, they'd see the ground covered with this flaky stuff, the sun glistening off the manna like snow-covered fields. Every day they would gather as much as they needed for that day, and then when the sun grew hot, it just melted away. And every day they experienced a mighty miracle of God. And yet they still became ungrateful and complained. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." And then Jesus experienced something similar in our gospel lesson this evening. There we heard that Jesus healed 10 men suffering from leprosy. But although Jesus healed all 10 of them, only one returned. When he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus. He fell to the ground at his feet and thanked him for what he had done. And as Jesus looked around, he said, "Weren't 10 men healed? Where are the other 9? Only one came back to say thank you. And to that one who returned, Jesus said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It doesn't say that Jesus took back the healing of the other 9, although we may think that would be appropriate. But that's the way it is with God and his gifts. He gives freely and fully. But it may also be that that one man who returned received something the others did not. That phrase, "your faith has made you well," can also be translated, "your faith has saved you." This man discovered that a marvelous and miraculous thing had been done, and he knew who had done it. His leprosy was a living death, cut off from family and friends, cut off even from God because he couldn't be with the community of faith. But when he saw that his life had been restored, he returned to give thanks, and he placed his faith in Jesus. But a heart that's far away, far from God, can't give thanks. And Paul speaks of that in his letter to the Romans. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Paul's talking to everyone here. He's talking to you and me at one time or another in our lives. People know that there's a God, but they deny him. Their hearts were darkened. And one thing that reflects this very thing is that they lack thankfulness. So if we haven't learned it by now, it's time to do so. Thanksgiving isn't just a once-a-year activity. It's a condition of the heart. If we lived with a heart of thankfulness every day, I believe that we would be changed radically. But the question is, how do we? How do we live like it's Thanksgiving every day? I don't think there are enough turkeys in the country to do that if we decided to do it that way. But one thing that can help us is to not grumble and complain the way the Israelites did, is to keep things in perspective. We often think about the pilgrims this time of year, and I think we kind of know what they went through when they came to this land. They'd uprooted themselves from England and sailed for America, an endeavor so hazardous that published guides advised travelers to the New World to first make thy will. That crossing was rough. The Mayflower was blown off course. Instead of reaching Virginia, where an Englishman had settled 13 years earlier, the pilgrims ended up in the wilds of Massachusetts. By the time they found a place to make their new home, Plymouth, winter had set in. Storms were frightful, shelter was rudimentary, there was little food, and within weeks, all the settlers were sick. William Bradford, a historian aboard the Mayflower who eventually became governor of the new settlement, later recalled, "That which was most sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half of our company died, especially in January and February, being the depth of winter, and wanting houses and other comforts, being infected with the scurvy and other diseases. There died sometimes 2 or 3 people a day." When spring came, Indians showed them how to plant corn, but their first crops were dismal. Supplies ran out, and their sponsors in London refused to help. On the surface, there wasn't a whole lot to be thankful for those first couple of years. But on November 29th, 1623, the entire settlement gathered at the meeting house on the hill to listen to the pastor and to render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all of his blessings. They thanked God for the corn and wheat, the squash and other vegetables they managed to harvest. They thanked God for the forest that was abounding with game and the sea which flourished with fish and clams. They thanked God for protecting them from hostile natives, from pestilence and disease. And they thanked God for granting them the freedom to worship according to their understanding of the scriptures. The pilgrims appeared to know what it meant to be thankful in all circumstances. And truth be told, we have it so good that most of the time we don't even realize it. Paul writes to Timothy, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." You and I are rich in this present world. Are you familiar with the book or the movie, The End of the Spear? It was it tells the story of five missionaries who were speared to death by the Waldani tribesmen living in the jungles of Ecuador. Amazingly, the wives and children of the men who were murdered stayed and were eventually able to reach out to the Waldani people with the message of Jesus. And in time, one of the sons of Nathan Saint, his name was Nathan Saint, Stephen, grew up and he befriended Min Kaini, the man who killed his father. And decades later, Stephen brought Min Kaini to the United States for a visit. And he was absolutely amazed by what life is like here. At one point, Min Kaini tries to explain McDonald's to his wife back home. He tells her about the houses that have windows in them, where you can drive up and tell the woman of the house that you want, what you want, and she just makes it for you, puts it in a bag, and hands it out the window. And you don't have to give her anything in return. But when he said that, Stephen interrupted and tried to correct him. He says, that's not exactly true. I have to give her this. And he waved his credit card. Min Kaini says, shook his finger and said, no. She gives it right back. We take so much for granted in our country. We can all find something to be thankful for in every circumstance. The Bible scholar Matthew Henry was once robbed and the thieves took everything of value that he had. And that evening, he wrote in his diary, I'm thankful that during these years, I've never been robbed before. Also, even though they took my money, they did not take my life. Although they took all I had, it was not much. Finally, I'm grateful that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful that after 36 and a half years, my wife still loves me and can still take my breath away. I'm thankful that my sons are healthy, that two of them have found godly women, and that they're all continuing to grow in their knowledge and the love of the Lord. I'm thankful for people who have prayed for me in my 34 and a half years as a pastor. I'm thankful for people who think of me first as a friend and a pastor second. I'm thankful that popcorn is so low in calories. But most of all, I'm thankful and amazed that God is so good to me and that Jesus still loves me. In preparation for this sermon, I went to BibleGateway.com. I don't know if you've ever been there before. You can find the Bible there. You can actually search through it and find all kinds of fun stuff. I searched for the word thanks. And I checked out three or four different translations and found that in each one of them, there were over 100 verses in the Bible that include the word thanks. And many of those verses have a recurring theme. Let's see if you can pick it out. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give thanks and to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good. His love endures forever. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord Almighty. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. It was kind of hidden, but did you catch the common theme? Ultimately, we're called to live lives of thanksgiving, not because of all the stuff that God has given us, or the houses we live in, or even the family gathered around the table, but because God is good, and He loves each one of us. He sent His Son to die to make us His own. In fact, His love is so great that He promises that His love will endure forever. And thankfully, God never breaks His promises. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.